Hey, Jessamine. You needed me to start while you were drinking.
Did you sound sync? Did you snap? Did I miss that part?
No.
Okay, I didn't actually know that we were going to be starting like that abruptly.
Did you Ash, get started now? Or?
No, I'm happy to get started. Okay, I wanted to a little while ago, so I'm glad that we finally are.
Yet you were in the middle of a morning routine. So hard to tell that you were ready.
It's so hard to tell that that was not a part of what we were allowed to do since Jessamine just took a sip of beverage.
It's not about, okay.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody.
Along with audio quality that might not be the best.
You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
What's up?
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
Like, literally, I'm like, so why are we sitting here?
You seem to have a very combative spirit about you right now.
I don't, actually. I feel really good. And I'm feeling not combative. What's up? Let's start.
Okay. Hey, Jessamine.
I don't really want to restart, but hi, Ash. How's it going?
It's going.
Is it just going?
I mean, it was going great, and then
It was! What happened?
I feel like you were like...
Oh, it's my fault. Oh, now the gimbal is... Okay. It's me and the gimbal.
And I felt like you were upset that I didn't start while you were drinking your beverage, and I didn't understand.
I just didn't want to be the holdup, frankly.
Oh.
I didn't. I was feeling like I don't want to be the reason that we're not starting on time.
We're right on time. We're always on time.
Okay. That's good to know. I was feeling like I don't want for me sipping my very chunky Sunrider Foods smoothie. Mm-hmm. To get in the way of us recording this show, which I would like to come back to the texture of this beverage. It is really why people don't drink protein powder. That's why this drink that I just had to spit back into the cup is why people don't drink protein powder, because this shit is sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go south in a few different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, mine is not properly mixed. It's not all the way incorporated into the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had like some chunks of damp protein powder in my mouth. You know, I was like a pocket of powder. Mm-hmm. That has like a liquid center, or it's like a liquid exterior, but like a powder texture, like solid interior.
Opens and becomes sandy on your tongue.
It's inappropriate is what it is. And it was just in the front part of my mouth. And so that's why I was not able to say hello at the beginning.
I'm over it.
And it's why you... Fucking Aries. I can't even get my thought all the way out. You're like, over it. Moved on. What are we talking about? It's I don't remember. Whatever. What's good with you? What are you calling in this week?
What am I calling in this week? My goodness. I don't know. I have this very interesting optimism today. I feel like there's this pep in my spiritual step.
That's nice.
Yeah. And it's not every day that that's true for me, or that I can access it. Maybe it's probably true for me every day. I can't necessarily
see it.
Yeah.
That's hard.
All the time. But this morning, so today we're going to be talking about holiday stuff and family stuff, but what is actually happening on the day of this recording is that we have our first ever annual all-hands meeting at work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about being a part of a company that wants to use our time to celebrate our wins for the year and the things that we're looking forward to for next year. That just makes me so happy.
Hell yeah.
Even though I put a lot of pressure on myself to do a really intense thing to present for this show and other projects I work on. Which is, there's like a Virgo rising thing that wants to do big, great, wonderful, amazing, perfect things and do them without any flaws and to the best of my ability, which I'm pretty high aptitude. And so it's hard to meet my own standards sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then I don't do it. Mm-hmm. And then it's not only not perfect, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to not have experienced that full range on this topic because I really enjoy celebrating a lot. Mm. And I enjoy celebrating with a team as a former athlete. It was like one of the highlights of all the hard work is getting to come together over a celebration. So that feels like this today is we're having like a company pep rally.
Mm-hmm. And hell like, yeah.
And like championship victory lap.
Yeah.
And I'm just so pumped for it. We woke up this morning talking about it and I can't tell you how proud I am of you for building something so lovely. You roll your eyes.
I don't know why I did. That's me rolling my eyes is part of why we need to do today. That's why part of why today is so important. Yeah.
That's on my heart. I'm calling in a lot of sweetness and abundance.
Hell yeah.
Including this celebration.
Oh. Sweetness and abundance is exactly right. Literally, I'm calling that in too.
Hell yeah.
Just like sweet. Thought like nice, you know, just like good. I'm like, what are all the good adjectives? No, like decadence, you know, like crusted jewels.
Opulence.
Yes. I am excited about the all hands meeting and this is our first time doing it. Mm-hmm. And the team has grown so dramatically since this time last year. And I am very excited to just hear what other people have been doing. Because I think a part of the decision to have it was like, nobody knows who anyone else is. We're all just here in digital space working on a bunch of shit. Things come hot and heavy. There's work constantly. There's no like, oh, what is that? What were you doing? Or like, what am I doing? It's so deadline driven. Mm-hmm. And it's how I've run myself forever, which mm-hmm. is like, don't celebrate the mountains you climbed. Only think about the mountains that are in the distance. Mm-hmm. Don't sit on your laurels. Don't get excited about anything. Like, and it's just really, I think that part doesn't help the growth. Like it doesn't.
Eventually. I feel like it's just not sustainable. I think that it's a short-term motivator and then long-term. I mean, but you're doing it. What I love about the trajectory, this is why I say I'm proud of you, is that there's so many pieces of how you've chosen to sort of, it's just like a basketball game. Mm-hmm. You pivot in ways and choose different plays and learn from your mistakes in ways that are just like, you're not a better person if you're a great basketball player. You're just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch you do all this because you pivot in these moments of like, maybe this isn't so sustainable. Maybe I want to do X, Y, or Z thing. And it's just beautiful to see it all come together.
Oh, thank you. But what I appreciate is being able to play with other basketball players. And that is what is so interesting to me because for so long I was like, I gotta do this alone. Like, I gotta do this alone.
Yeah.
And over time, it just became clear that that was not sustainable. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the other players on the team are so wildly talented and like have so much to offer.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to see other people today and see what everybody else has been working on, see what everybody's proud of. And yeah, it's really exciting. So yeah, definitely calling in opulence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Last time that That's we recorded, oh my we God. Talked about a threesome You're a slut. That we had. You're a slut. Last time. How did that even manage to happen? No, literally, this is what happened. We recorded the show last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday afternoon, we drove to Richmond. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday night,
oh, yeah.
We had a threesome in Richmond. So anyway, so since then, I had another threesome. Which... Do you have anything to say about threesome?
I learned a lot.
Mm.
I didn't enjoy it. This is the first time. It's not that I didn't get any enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I came. But I arrived, I should say.
I arrived, literally.
And I got some like memory fantasies for the spank bank, you know, mm-hmm. but like mostly watching you get fucked is one of the peak fantasy moments.
I was not trying to have a threesome.
I know.
This particular one, I really was not. Either. No, you literally weren't. Like, before you went downstairs, you were like, Man, I don't know.
Let's just say there was a hotel bar. And so I met up with this person before bringing them up to the room just to like be clear about their vibe and whatever. And I wasn't into it.
Just because it was one of my most favorite Aries moments of you. Like, I just really appreciated the way you communicated.
I was trying to give him so many opportunities to change my mind and make me want him to
change. You're so terrible. You're so direct.
He's not a bad person. She's not always a mess, bro.
He was really nice person. I really liked him. Mm. I thought he was a really nice person. I thought he was really nice.
I think we had an age incompatibility. I think there's this interesting thing that happens with cis men, and I'm just realizing it right in this moment, that like, I'll date, you know, I have a spectrum of ages that feel fine for me to like, not be, you know, being weird about power and stuff, you know, because that was a big part of my youth, was just dating people who were way older, that it's just inherently a power thing, and I'm not interested in engaging in that. So I think 25 is probably the youngest I would engage with somebody sexually.
How old is he?
I'm 32. He's 25.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the very low end of my, anyway, the point is like when I have 10 years on you, I don't have 10 years on you, 8 years, whatever it is. I just know that I've done and seen. And I personally, I have like 30 years on everybody. Anyway, So it just wasn't a good match, but he's a very kind person. I didn't mind what he did with his body and things like that. But there was a vibe, there was like an energy that was missing for me to be like, oh yeah, we're equal adults having sex.
This is the thing. We were in Richmond. I was speaking at an event. We did the event that day. That night, I knew I was not trying to be in any kind of threesome situation. But
why didn't you say that? Why didn't you say?
I said that from the beginning.
You said, Ash, I know I don't want.
I don't know if I use those words, but I know
this
I said.
This is the biggest takeaway for me from this experience. And it's actually one of the worst tastes in my mouth. Not because it's a bad thing, but because I just don't want to do, unless I have extremely good communication with whoever I'm going into a threesome with. Like good as in, I know what they mean when they say what they say. And they say what they mean to me. I can't not keep not knowing what you mean in a situation where I don't feel like I can talk freely or whatever.
I feel like before he got there, I definitely said I was not interested.
I wouldn't have done it if I had experienced you this way.
Okay.
I know that for sure. Because I was like only halfway into it anyway.
No, this is, oh. I'm mad about it, actually, because like I really remember being like, because I knew I was going to be tired.
Sure.
I knew I was not trying to do that. You told me that you'd set this thing up, and I was like,
"Why are we? I don't.
Is this too far?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's way too fucking far, and this is just too. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Okay. We can back up. The point is, we were talking today. We'd said before that we wanted to talk about the last threesome. And then today we were going to talk about how that also connected to family. Because the last threesome that we had before this most recent one was literally here in the driveway of my parents' house.
So interesting. I'm like not in that. Well, I don't know how they connect.
Oh, well, I was just saying that like this topic of conversation was connected tangentially to last week's conversation.
I just didn't think that's what we were talking about today.
Absolutely.
Say, what are you not saying?
I don't know how to respond. I mean, we frequently get into topics that we don't mean to get into, and I didn't mean to go too far, and I'm backing up now.
I just didn't know how it connected to having a threesome. I thought we were just talking about family.
We can. Please talk about family. Are we just going to stare at each other?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so for the last few years, I've spent a lot of time working and have not prioritized coming to visit my family in Jamestown. And I felt really guilty about that because I really enjoy spending time with them. But also, there's a lot of complicated emotions that go along with that. And when you and I started seeing each other, you were really interested in spending time with my family. And I was not, I felt this jealousy or something like that related to spending time with them and then also spending time with them with you. because I noticed that the way that they act whenever we're in mixed company is very different from how it is when it's just the four of us. And I felt guilty for feeling jealous of the time that I wanted to spend with them. Also, you wanting to spend time with them and not knowing how to reconcile all that. And it was something that I had not anticipated. And I felt like guilty about it because you have a really different relationship with family. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it has shone a light on all the privilege that I experience. And I think that it's just really interesting to see yourself reflected in that way.
How do you mean reflected? I don't mean it's difficult.
No, you're fine. I mean, I'm just like, I think that that's not how my parents would not want for me to feel like I need to make like I need to withhold their time and attention or something like that. They'd be like, you need to grow up.
It is a good example that I think of this other thing that happens in polydynamics for me, at least, where, you know, well, where, when you're not giving yourself the things you need, like the frustration that you feel like about that will like come out in fucked up ways, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times in like partnership ways that you don't even necessarily understand. This happened to us a lot, I think, in both directions, but it seems kind of like what you're talking about, that like if you were seeing them enough, this is what you said about when we pulled the trailer in here. Is that you're here, and so you can go and see them anytime you want. And so with us, with you being here, them being right there, that is, it feels like less of a thing for you, for me to like have a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you to be here?
I don't know. What's it like for you to be here?
I don't know. You're upset?
No, I mean, I'm just curious. I feel like I've said a lot. I'm curious what it is. What's it like for you to be here?
It's been hard. I mean, I think there's like a lot of comparing that I do already, sort of myself to other people, namely you in this context, and just like thinking about the things you have and things I don't have. I think parents is like a biggie just in my life, in all my relationships. And it's like a thing that everybody sort of has, however much they talk about it or deal with it, like, people have come from a place, you know, mm-hmm. and have a relationship to that. And I don't know. Maybe just today, I don't feel like I care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, I don't have a parent whose driveway we would park in, you know? But a lot of the ways I've gotten here is through, you know, building queer family in my teens and 20s, and just like choosing people who make me feel good and make me feel home to be either living with or just like doing days with, you know? Mm-hmm. So today I feel really grateful that we get to be here. It's like free. It feels certainly that like you made the point when you're living in Durham, that like it felt bad for you to have me come spend time with your parents with you. And so from that experience and just like other experiences of like having, when they've been over, it's been like a tense isn't the right word, but I can feel, you know, a sense from you that you don't like the fact that I'm around for it sometimes. And it's like, it does kick up some shit for me just around like belonging and like, where do I belong? I obviously don't belong in your family. Like that's not, do you know what I mean? Like that's,
I don't feel the way that you're describing, but I hear what you're saying.
What do you mean?
I just don't have the same experience. Please continue.
Say more. What's your experience?
That I need to visit my family more frequently so that when I'm visiting with you, it's not a big deal for me to not be spending time alone with them, mm-hmm. to not have like the 2 hours a month that I get to see them mm-hmm. be with someone else. Mm-hmm. That was the issue. It was not about you. And it's not, it continues to not be about you. And I hate for you to not feel at home here because you are literally home here. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't feel that way, then maybe it will never be that way. But I don't want it to be that way. And so I don't have the same experience. But I hear what you're saying.
This time of year is really hard for me since I was a kid. And we all have, you know, traditions, memories, whatever, around events. And if we celebrate things like Thanksgiving, if we celebrate things like Christmas or Hanukkah or any other, like, come together, be with your family, end of year, harvest, whatever traditions, that, like, no doubt your life's different than when you were a kid, for better, for worse, whatever you feel. And now you've chosen to either carry on some of those or not, carry on some of the hard shit of that or not. And in my case, I feel like I'm at a place where I'm like understanding that I'm gonna, whatever I do to recreate a holiday experience that works for me now, or to create a holiday experience that works for me now, whatever I choose to do is gonna be something I've done after all this other bullshit. It's always gonna be part of my story. Like, it's always gonna be present in the room. And like, I think for the most part, that feels like a new thing to accept. And that historically I've wanted to like feel better around the holidays, or like do something different than like feel bad and traumatized about my holiday experience. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You said something that's really intense. You're saying that you experienced a lot of trauma during the holidays, mm-hmm. repeatedly over a number of years. And you are coming to terms with that and or finding new ways of approaching that. I don't think it's appropriate for me to just be like, okay, great. You know, like, let's move on to the next thing. Or here's something that I have to say about it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just receiving you. I hear you. Because I think there's this thing that happens where we are like trying to still like make it a show and like make it like fit the segments. Fuck the segments. It's all just relative. I just felt like you were looking at me like I should say something. And I was like, oh, let me say something. Even though it's like,
I think I just like, I don't know. Maybe it's me. I keep having this feeling of being in this alone or something. So
in the show alone, in this experience alone.
Yeah. Yeah. All that.
You are in it alone.
Right.
I mean, I'm here with you for the show. I'm literally physically here and like, I'm receiving you. I'm listening to what you're saying. I don't have like a point to make. So I'm not like,
I'm just any of that.
No, but what I'm saying is that like,
what's going on?
It's a hard topic. It doesn't feel good to talk about, maybe, but like, you can have the same reaction that you've been having since you were 9 years old, literally exact same, and it will be fine because that is your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I feel like all I ever want is to be heard or to have somebody listen. And so I'm just trying to hear you.
Totally. Oh, thank you. There's just feeling, and we're trying to make words because this is a show, this is a podcast.
I mean, you're a Gemini moon. So you're going to try to find the words.
Well, you're a double Cancer and you're going to have to figure out how to find the words sometimes.
I don't ever need to find the words. I'm so good on it.
Literally, when I ask you questions, you get upset because I'm like, tell me in words.
Yeah. Anything. And I'm like, do you see my face? I'm giving like, you full expression.
Are you not feeling this energy I'm shooting can you even into your eyeballs?
I'm telling you everything I can. That's how I feel even now. Like, there's no words. There are times in this life where there are no words, period. There's nothing to be said. It's like nothing to be said. That's why so many old people are confused by our generation. They're literally like, why do y'all need to talk about everything? You talk constantly. Do you like the show?
Do I like Dear Jessamine?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about it?
Listening to or making?
What else?
I think we can catch ourselves on the mic saying really profound things that are sort of inspired by the conversations that we have with each other. Mm-hmm. But also just like, I think we do keep it real in a way that feels refreshing. Mm-hmm. Novel. I like making it because it forces an amount of discipline, but also makes me think about things in a different way. Why? Do you like the show?
I don't know that I need to engage with how other people think of me. I obviously do. Mm. I don't want to logically. Mm. And so for that reason, the show is hard for me often.
Do you not want to because it gives other people some semblance of control over you somehow?
I don't like people thinking that they know me based on just like a few things that they heard. It's really frustrating for me, actually, because it doesn't feel... It's like not fair. It's not balanced. Like, and so there are times that we've been recording where like, I'll get really upset because I'll be like, this is really one-sided. Even earlier, the conversation we were having, I'm like, this is not the full picture. Right. And it's really fucked up about what I don't even want to talk about anymore because it set us up. Yes. That whole situation, the way that it was being painted felt like not representative of how I experienced it. And sharing that with other people for me is a practice. It's something because ultimately, like, I don't really care, you know, like it doesn't really matter in the long run. It's like you say something, whatever, it's experience. Everybody's having them. It's no big deal. But it's hard for me to engage with the show because it requires that I look back at how I share what it requires a level of self-reflection that I think is hard. And I think it'd be different if I was like getting off on really enjoying listening to my voice or something like that, but I don't feel that way about it. And we are going through very difficult things that it's not just like, it's not the tea, you know, it's not like trivial. It's like very real human shit that people pretend is not happening to them. And they, sometimes I feel judged by other people, like that they're like, oh, well, you know, like this is what I think about that. Or like, this is how I would do that thing. And I'm like, mind your fucking business. You know what I mean? Like you have, I'm sure you have plenty of shit going on in your own life that could be criticized or critiqued. And then I'm the one who's letting it be out in the world. It's just a very interesting practice. I don't think it's always bad, but I don't think I always like it.
That makes sense. We did talk one time on the show about, you know, we similarly, like we feel like we have to make something very specific so that it can be consumed in a specific way. And you're like, it's bullshit, whatever. It's like, I mean, we could come on here and just like look at each other.
I said that.
I did. I was like, we would have to be like really committed to that on God or something like that. And you were like, fine, good.
I don't know. It was like a moment of tension. You were just like, similar
concept. I think you were like, sometimes there's no words, basically, at the end of the day, basically. But I think it's interesting that I was confused by the weed had stopped because I was just like,
why'd you put me in charge of the weed? Literally. No, I don't do it. And I did not smoke weed before this, so I'm like not thinking about smoking weed. And it makes such a difference. There's like, you could chart it.
I'm just like, I think I need to start writing it on the outlines or something. If you haven't smoked at least one joint.
This show should not be listened to. It should not be recorded or listened to without weed. It's hard because it's not just that it's like, yes, we ramble, but the topics are very hard. And people who don't smoke weed, I think, have difficulty dealing with shit that's like more than what's going to be on fucking PBS. You know what I mean? I'm like, some of this shit is not easy. And so I feel you.
I rewatched episode 204 of this show. It's an episode where you start crying. We worked it into the production. I brought that up because during that moment, it was before emotions, well, deeper emotions, And you said you got like sort of exasperated at one point. You were like, I feel like this whole episode's fucked. And I was like, it doesn't have to be. And that's how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this whole episode's fucked.
Oh, you feel like it's all fucked. I don't care. I mean, I'm like, if you, this has always been my thing with this show. It's like, and about all art, is that it is not about the people who are engaging with it. So that I'm like, this is us just being ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's too disjointed or like someone else is like, oh my God, I like to listen to podcasts for this reason. I like to listen because I get this type of information for it. Then listen to those podcasts. That's great. And maybe one day we'll do a show like that. But this show is about something different.
I appreciate that. I think you're absolutely right.
I wish we just let it ride. I mean, like, take stuff out, obviously.
Mm.
But, like, I think that the trajectory, the arc of the topics is, I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
It, and I feel like I want to say here
mm-hmm.
that me having difficulty with the show does not mean I don't think the show is good. I think the show is really important art.
Sure.
But it's so important that I have difficulty with it. I'm like, okay.
It's too close, too soon, too
It's now, really too hard. Now. There's so many things. I mean, like, there's shit that you can make that you can't look at it. Like, just because I made it doesn't mean I need to look at it. And then it's hard for other people to look at it because it's like, who even asked you? Like, nobody's asking you. And then we end up needing to because of marketing and analytics and like, but we have the flexibility to not let that be the driving point.
Totally. Yeah. And I think staying true to that is never the wrong choice.
Yeah, I just think there's we have to do so much shit for money. So many things where it's like, there's all these other voices in the room. And it's just like,
bitch. I hate sounding so aggressive.
You are aggressive.
I know, but it's like, I don't know. There's a safety that.
Is it letter?
That I think occurs when we're in space privately.
Mm-hmm.
And you. I do this too sometimes. We all have varying degrees of being able to like. Modify what we're doing for mm-hmm. the camera. And then I'm also like remembering the mandate of authenticity in our work together. Mm-hmm. I think we have an unspoken vow,
mm-hmm.
basically,
mm-hmm.
which I'm saying into the world right now, that the work that we create together will inherently can encourage each other to stay as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
In real life, on camera, etc. And that I think we have a really similar understanding of what that authenticity is, right? Like, yes, makeup, that's art. Like, no airbrush, that's not what we're doing. You know, whatever. Like, I think it would be interesting to see if there were any things we differed on in that. Genuinely interesting. But anyway, so then I feel in myself like, no, be authentic. Like, be real, like, keep it real. And then I hear myself, I'm like, wow. If you watched somebody talk like that to Jessamyn, you would physically intervene, you know? And so it feels hard to experience even in real time. And then I'm going to think about editing it and be like, God, dude, what is up with the anger, homie? Like, calm it down.
That's why Kylie is so helpful, literally, because she is a whole other human being who is not in this.
Yeah, it's man, why do I want to release that? Why do I want to put that negative energy into everybody's car and earphones and whatever? Like, do I have a responsibility to not
have that
tone?
What an interesting question.
To 2,500 people?
That's the problem with this world, literally, is that people are not expressing their full emotions. That is the whole fucking issue, is that people get on their entertainment and they just want to feel happy. And then in their regular lives, they're sad and miserable and all this bad shit is happening. And they're like, why is this happening? My life should be happy. And I'm like, bitch, nothing is happy. Whenever people are recording anything, the before and after of that was ratchet. They are either doubting themselves, doubting each other, doing literally anything. I can't think of a time. I mean, there have been a few times where it's like, we're just like being really joyful. You know, just like really like, and usually there's like weed flowing.
It's real.
But a lot of times you do some kind of creation, especially when it's like something that's going to be broadcast to a lot of people, like millions of people without their consent, really, like on fucking television ads. There's so much negativity and chaos and like, and that's just life. Everybody's going through their shit and it's fine. And we censor it and it censors our brains. And then we get upset and we think that our lives shouldn't just be happening when they're going to do that anyway, period. And then we...
Trauma's not, like, wrong. You think zebras out here on the plains are supposed to... Everybody thinks it's trauma. It's
you got a lion on your ass? Literally that's on your ass? This is traumatizing.
You know, it would be a very traumatizing experience for a person. And that shit happens to zebras, like, on the weekly. And so I don't know who's trying to get away from trauma. It's just that, like, how does your body metabolize it? How can you break it down and, like... make it usable for your trajectory and your lineage, you know, how you pass down resiliency.
Oh, right? Yes. In your DNA. Oh my God. Yes.
I'm glad we started the show.
That's what I'm saying is that the work that we do is really about that. Mm-hmm. It's about, and it's not even about like healing, you know, it's just about seeing. It's like, let me look at all of it.
Yeah.
Just let me look at all of the trauma, all of it, not just mine.
Right.
But yours and also everyone else above and beyond and around me. Let me just look at all of it and just try to let, that's just the first step. Like, just try to do that. And I feel like trying to do that is better than not doing that.
Yeah, totally. Right.
So, I mean, granted, like, you don't always have to put everything on the internet, but it's kind of like, why not?
We'll be dead someday.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is it like, we're going to be dead one day, and there's going to be people who, like, are having this experience. And I feel like it'd be nice to be like, so, did you have that experience
but
too?
Also, okay, just cool. Like, I don't even know who's going to want to remember me by the time I'm dead.
Oh, my God.
You can't. You know, no.
No.
You can't. What I'm saying is, like, I have recordings of my grandmother singing before she died.
Oh, my God.
I would do anything to protect those.
Yes.
I need to put them in a safety deposit box somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then yesterday, Kylie dropped a rerun episode from season one in which Joe the dog barked. And I went out to talk to her about it in a stern way. On the note of aggressive. We were aggressive with each other, though. She and I had a very
special
relationship.
She's a bad bitch.
Anyway, I was just discussing with her why the fuck she was yelling while I was trying to record a podcast. You know? She was like, there's a fucking person out there.
My like, job. Somebody outside. Did you know?
And I was like, okay, you're right. Well, can you keep it down for 20 more minutes? She was like, well, fine. I came back in. You Googled what a service bot was. Anyway, it was
a cute episode.
And a cute moment, but I miss Joe so much. And the fact that we have her voice recorded like that, I'm just like, what a dream. And she just popped into my life yesterday. You know what I mean? And not just a dream or like an ethereal way. I like heard her voice. I was like, whoa. And I miss that dog so damn much. Anyway, so why not record things to your point?
That's it. All of it is important. Everybody is important. Everything is important. This is so precious. Just to be able to get to know beings, you know? Yeah. You really got to know Joe.
Oh my God.
Y'all spent so much time together. You really got to... I mean, that's the whole point of this, is to be able to have, like, a lasting connection, like, something that matters, even if it's just lasting for a moment.
Yeah.
Eye contact.
The thought of someone coming into this world, even if they never arrived.
God, what a thing to have done. I'm saying it's for me.
Profound impact you as a being have. If you start to come here and then you don't make it, that person knows you forever, remembers you forever. You changed their life somehow or other.
That is the life that is so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the life that is, the life that doesn't quite make it.
Yeah,
it's so amazing. There's things that would not happen in people's lives without that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh man, it's a beautiful story of that. Maybe I'll tell another time.
Yeah. I think we should go. I feel better about this now.
Me too.
How do you feel? Good.
I love you. Thank you for showing back up.
I love you too. I really appreciate you showing up too. And I think that, you know, we're okay.
All right.
You know,
we're all right. Can I get out of here?
Please.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tender Fire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram @DearJessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They help us out a lot and give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Who the hell is on our team? Kylie C. Roberts is our editor slash producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. We believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop Page.